Genesis chapter 2. The message today is work. Genesis 2. And look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Chapter 4, verse 1, and the man knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in chapter 4, look over at verse 20. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the pipe. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the forger of every cutting instrument of brass and iron. Now, in the New Testament, look at 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any man will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some that walk among you disorderly, that work not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command, and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and eat their own bread. Now, Revelation chapter 7. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, these that are arrayed in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from? And I say unto him, my Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And chapter 22, verse 1, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all things that you recorded in your word. Some seem so insignificant, and yet you have chosen to place them there for our profit, for our edification, and we thank you for that. And we desire this morning that we shall understand your thoughts about work, our God, as we've been thinking about work this past month, that we shall look at it in the first book of the Bible and in the last book of the Bible, and understand just what you think about it, our God. And then may your thoughts be our thoughts. We thank you for all the blessings of this past week. We thank you indeed, our God, that some of us have prayed for those in authority, for the kings and all that are in high place, that we may live a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And therefore, for our President and his cabinet, we would pray as you have told us to our God. For all that are in high places, Lord, we have seen their lack of wisdom, of understanding. But we have seen what happens, our Father, when your Spirit works in the hearts of the high as well as the low. And so let thy Spirit work for the advancement of thy kingdom and for the glory of your Son. And help us this day, thou dost know the help of him that is needed who speaks, and the understanding and perception of those who hear. So bless us to that end, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is no escaping it. God has determined that his creatures shall work. That is why I read to you one of the first instructions given to the first man that God put upon the earth. I understand that he was put there to glorify God, to enjoy God, but at the same time, what the Lord told him was this. He said, I've made you this garden. He said, now, here is a hole. Dig in this garden, till it, take care of it, and keep it from any intrusion. That is my instruction to you. A remarkable thing. The first man ever created, and God puts in his hand a hoe and says, work. We might have thought that God would create a garden and place man in it, and then, seeing that it was not good for man to be alone, make him an help meet for him, and then give her to man and say, enjoy life. But instead, he said, work. As soon as two children are born, Cain and Abel, God said, let Cain work the ground, and let Abel keep the sheep. And I did not read it to you, but you will find in the Gospel of Mark that men knew about the Son of God. And they said concerning him, is not this the carpenter? Did you know that God had his son to work for 30 years as a carpenter? You say, how strange for the Son of God to do manual labor. And I read to you from 2 Thessalonians the verse that I am prepared to give to any bum, any street person, any homeless person that comes up begging me for food. God's word says this concerning his children. if they do not work, they do not eat. And so when someone comes and asks you for food, ask them, are you prepared to work for that food? And if they say no, then tell them, the Bible says, if you do not work, you do not eat. That's how important it is. And let me introduce this right now. Do you realize that there are some who are professed children of God? And I read to you in 2 Thessalonians that they work not at all. And so it seems this, that God is determined that man shall work, and man is determined that he shall not work. The Lord enables us to look into the distance until we come to the great tribulation just before the millennium. And those that come out of the great tribulation, they are rewarded with being before the throne of God. And it says, they serve him day and night. You would think that having become martyrs for God, they would rest forever. But God says they are going to serve me day and night. And may I mention the angels? The word angel means messenger. And the seraphim in Isaiah 6 have no rest day nor night, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so angels have no rest. They are his servants. And then I read you in the last book and the last verse of the Bible that when we get to that more glorious garden than God made for Adam and Eve, it says, his servants there shall serve him. And now do you believe that God has determined that his servants are going to work? And so think of your disposition. Is there in you that which wants to work? Or is there in you that unworthy attitude? And it says in 2 Thessalonians 3 that some work not at all. And the Bible says if they do not work, they do not eat. And it says that such persons are busybodies going about instead of working, talking about other people, not minding their own business, but minding other people's business. And God says this is not going to happen. And when he sent his son into the world, certainly if there were exemption, there should be his son. But the Lord Jesus had material things to do as well as spiritual things to do. And so some of us look with disdain upon any physical activities that are required to be done. But God looks at them, if we obey him, in the same light as if we were fulfilling the spiritual activities that he has placed upon us. Tell me this. Tell me any message the Lord Jesus had ever given before he was 30 years of age. You say, I know of no message. Tell me of any miracle he had ever performed. You say, I know of no miracle. And so the only thing the Lord Jesus had done was to return home with his parents and be in subjection to them and to work faithfully for 30 years as a carpenter. And when our Savior came upon the scene and was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now tell me, was he well pleased with his son in a lesser degree for 30 years than he was when he went and preached the Sermon on the Mount? Is this not strange that Christ, having done none of the things that we consider of great importance, the Father said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," because it says this also in Luke 2:52. Jesus was cutting his way forward. When it says he increased, it's the word. He was cutting his way forward in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You realize that the Lord Jesus cut his way forward. He increased, he advanced day by day with his Father. How could that be? With God and man. And yet the Bible tells us that. And so the Lord Jesus was not afraid to work. And I thought back over my life as I was considering this message on work. And what gave me pleasure was this. From a young man, I have always worked. I never remember receiving an allowance, but I remember this. Before I reached my teens, I sold magazines. I used to sell Collier's magazines and Liberty magazines and the American magazine. And some of them cost 10 cents. And some of them cost 25 cents. And I can remember a young boy, maybe 10 or 12 years old, and there was one customer who might have bought an American magazine for 25 cents, and that meant I would have earned a dime. And I remember walking from 2 to 4 miles to go to that home and say, "Did you want to buy an American magazine today?" I can remember that. And then I also remember that I worked as the mailing clerk, the shipping clerk, at American Optical Company when I was going to high school to make some money. And I was in charge of shipping out all the glasses to the ophthalmologist that had sent in their prescriptions. And I was paid 30 cents an hour. And I was delighted to get it. And I remember the day that I was told, "We are giving you an increase in wage. You now make 35 cents an hour." And so I remembered working before I went into the ministry and after I've been in the ministry. You do a work and there is no difference in the sight of God, because the Bible says, "If any man provide not for his own household, he is worse than an infidel." And so if there are any of you sorry men here who will not work and provide for your wife and your children, you are worse than an infidel. And the parents would work for you. It says later in life, when you grow up, you are to pay back your parents. You are to requite your parents. And therefore, if later in life your parents become ill and they are in need, you are to support them. The Lord Jesus strictly demanded that. There were some who had a way of escape. All they had to do, if they wanted to discard caring for their parents, they would mention one word, korban. And that meant that all the obligations that they had to their parents were annulled, and they had to do nothing anymore for their parents. And the Lord Jesus rebuked them. It said, the Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother." And it means caring for them in a physical sense as well as loving them. And so this is the responsibility that we have. And so at no time are we free to stop working, to work as children, to work as adults. Our whole life long is to be one of work. And this is what I had been reading, and it was of such great interest, the various works that God has laid upon man to do, and the burden that certain men took upon themselves to do, and they are these. There is construction work, and there is instruction work, and in the case of Nehemiah, it was construction work that God laid upon his heart to do. But with Ezra, it was instruction work to do. To take the word of God, to read it, to explain it, to let the people understand that God has a will for you. You have professed him as the God of gods, and you are following him, and he has given you his words, and the highest praise that you have among the nations is this, that God has given you his thoughts, his laws, his precepts, the things that are important to God. And the other nations are to look upon you and say, this great and mighty nation, this privileged nation, why? Because God has told them how they should live, and God expects us to live that way. Now, think of the various construction that God has given man to do. There is, first, the tabernacle that God told man to make, and then something greater than the tabernacle, the temple. But also there is the holy city that some were burdened to rebuild after it was destroyed. And there was also the wall around that city of Jerusalem. And there were houses that God gave men to build. The Lord says this in Deuteronomy. It's so lovely. It says that if you are married and you are about to go to war and you are building a house, it says you are not to go to war until that house is completed, lest you die in war and somebody else occupy your house. Who but God would think of this tender heart's desire of man? And also, you men, I am hesitant to tell you this, but it says that when we get married, for a whole year, we are exempt from duties except to comfort our wives. What does that mean? To comfort them because they willingly accepted us as their husbands? But whatever the reason, God says your duty for a whole year is to comfort your wife. But then there is the responsibility of wives to be in subjection to your husbands as Christ, as the church is to Christ. And so we all have responsibilities, but we would like to cast off all of these responsibilities. I do not want to do any work. I simply want to be at ease, and I want to live in the Garden of Eden and go and pick fruit off the trees and rest. But that's not the thought. Three things. God indeed created a paradise for man at first, and he provided it with all the fruits that man would need to live. And not only that, but he gave him a wife. And what is so lovely is this, that at the end of the day, in the cool of the evening, God would come and visit man in that garden. But it would be after man had worked all day long tilling that garden, protecting that garden, taking care of that garden. And so here is man with an unfallen nature. He is in a paradise, and yet he is to work physical labor all day long, however long it took to get that garden in condition. It meant this, that God did not make a garden that was self-contained, that would not grow too large, that would not have other animals that would come and eat that garden. And so it was to be kept, and that other animal that came, that serpent, he did not keep it from that garden. But remember this, it was not a paradise in which man did nothing but enjoy the love of his wife, but he worked all day with his wife, and then in the evening, God would come, and he would walk with God, as Enoch at a later time outside the garden walked with God. And so God never intends man to be idle. He wants you to be working. Do you understand that in the coming day, a responsibility that God has placed upon man that was refused is going to cause that man to be cast into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The Lord speaks a parable, and he gives talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, and they are to work with those talents, to increase those talents. And the one with 5 brings back 5 more, and the one with 2 brings back 2 more, and he who had received 1 talent, when God brings him to account, says, "What did you do with that talent I gave you?" He said, "I buried it because I was afraid." And God said, "Cast him out. There shall be the weeping, the gnashing of teeth." And so whatever gift God gave you, you had better use that gift and to a degree make some increase, because God is going to call you to an account in the coming day. And 1 with 5 says, 5 more, Lord, with 2 more, Lord, 1. Well, I was afraid. I have nothing more to give than what you gave to me. And God says, that means being cast out. Work is most important. Now, I told you about the various works that were laid upon men's hearts. When Nehemiah heard from Hanani, his brother, about the condition of Jerusalem, he was heartbroken, and he prayed and prayed unto God, and finally he was sad when he was the cupbearer before the king. And the king said, "What is this?" And he prayed again, and he said, "The city of my fathers, where they are buried, where the temple is," he said, "it's in ruins." He said, "I'm heartbroken because of the condition of Jerusalem." And the king gave him permission to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And when he got there, instead of rebuilding the city, the thing that is important to him is building the wall around the city. And that is most important, because if you build a city first, then the enemy can come, and there's no protection against the enemy from coming and taking that city. But if you have a wall around that city, and then you start building the city, if the enemy comes, they are prevented from coming in and making you a captive and taking all your possessions. And so what Nehemiah did was to look and see the situation, and he, one who was so important that he became the governor, he secretly went out and saw all that was to be done, and then he enlisted the people. And one commendable thing that said is this: the people had a mind to work. And something that seems impossible, this great wall all around Jerusalem was accomplished in 52 days. And the enemies were there to destroy them. And at times they had to work with one hand and keep a spear in the other hand. And they had to work so long and so guardedly that they did not take off their clothes, day nor night. This is working. It said the people had a mind to work. But it is heartbreaking to read this also. It said, some of the nobles put not their neck to the work. And so there were slackers. And so all of you who come to an assembly, because there is no such thing as the clergy and the laity, one man who is your pastor, who does everything, but I read you in past weeks, God has gifted. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. He gives all of us gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. And some of us look upon the church and we see we need the gospel preached. Souls are not getting saved. And others look upon the church and say, they lack teaching. They do not know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so I lay it upon my heart. I am going to teach them the things of God. And so what the church needs today is a wall built about it. I tell you this with sadness, that I preached to many assemblies over the years, and some of them I have refused to go back and preach to. Why? Because they now accept doctrines that are sinful and moral practices that are sinful. And if I went, I would have to speak the truth. And I do not want to cause trouble. I've been asked at times to speak concerning particular doctrines that have split meetings. And I tell them, if I come, I'm going to tell you the truth. And some of them do not want you to come. And some of them will not allow you to come. But thank God, I remember this. In one assembly, a great moral sin was being accepted. And I said this. I said, I want you to understand that it would be a contradiction for this person who is living in sin to be tolerated and for me to stand up and then preach while you tolerate that sin. And the leading elder sent back a letter and said, this person has been dealt with. Come and preach to us. Thank God for that. And other assemblies would say, we have no intention of changing the way that we do things. And so, yes, we need a wall, a spiritual wall, built around the assemblies. Why? To keep truth in and to keep error out. Because the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And so I hope that when I preach to you, I am building the wall around Jerusalem to keep you safe within and keep the enemy without. Because if there is no wall, then there are all those who can come and take a place among us and stir up trouble among the people of God. And this is what has been happening when I've seen those come and preach false doctrine and split meetings and tear things apart. Why? Because there was no wall, and the wall has to be God's specifications, and it has to be only as high and only as strong to keep error out, not to allow truth in. Because I must bring this to your attention. There are some who would build such a wall that nothing would be allowed in that didn't suit us. I remember that John was talking to our Savior, and he said, Lord, he said, I want you to understand that I saw a man that followed not us, who was casting out demons, and I forbade him. Well, that sounds good. If he had spirituality and he had power, he would follow the Lord Jesus. But John said, he's casting out a demon, but he's not following us, and I forbade him to do it. And the Lord Jesus said, forbid him not, for he that's not against us is for us. And if I were to go to every denomination and forbid them to preach anymore because they do not gather to the name of the Lord Jesus had said, forbid them not. I thank God for every group of Christians, even though they are imperfect in doctrine, that preach the gospel, that exalt the name of Christ. I wish they knew more. I wish that they would go to an Aquila and Priscilla like Apollos did and learn the way of God more perfectly. But understand this, until they do, the Lord Jesus says, forbid them not, even though they are not following us, because if they are not against us, they are for us. And so there is that work. And there is also this about building the temple of God. Do you realize that when they came, it took them from 538 to 516 to build the temple of God? And yet, when they were encouraged by Haggai and Zechariah, they were revived after waiting 17 years. And then they finished it in 4 years. And so here is work, building the house of God. But one thing we must learn, that before they built that house of God, it said they built the altar. And even though the temple was not completed, every morning they offered that lamb upon the altar and all the sacrifices that God had spoken of. And so if they did not have a complete temple the way that they wanted and completed it in 516, still they had the altar and they were partially carrying out all things that were to take place in that altar, in that building. And so what God would tell us is this, I want you to do my good and acceptable and perfect will. I want you to be a builder. I want you to have a structure in which you meet. And the strange thing is this, that never in the New Testament do we read anything about a special building being built, but the church which is in your house. But then, at least let's have homes in which we can meet. If we have a building like this, thank God for it. Because Paul taught at the school of Tyrannus, wherever it was convenient. Praise God for that. But let us understand what buildings are for, and let us understand that there is to be an altar. There is to be praise and worship. There is much work to be done. There is much truth to be taught. And Ezra was the one who taught the truth of God. And Nehemiah was the one who did the construction of God. And so let us be builders for God. Let us be working throughout our life, because we shall be working throughout eternity. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you have given us something to do. Our God, we think with shame upon any time that we would neglect the work of God, that we would want others to do it. Let us understand the great honor that you give us, whether it's digging in a garden with a hoe, whether it's using a hammer and saw, working as a carpenter, whether as Paul we are building and mending tents. Our Father, work is honorable, and it is that which you have given man to do. And so we thank you for that. Let us do a good job, our Father, one of which our employers shall not be ashamed. And let us give a good testimony for Christ by doing a good job for those for whom we work. Our Father, you have told us from the beginning that we are to work Let us not be afraid of it. Let us not be ashamed of it. But let us work and be able to say with your Son, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Our Father, may we be able to say that when we come to the end of our life, we have finished the work that you've given us to do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.